Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Abebefe hanging out with you guys this afternoon. 40 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on the wild weekend that we saw in the National Football League, including that Eagles come from behind victory against the LA Rams, where they needed to barely hang on to keep that victory intact, but they do it nonetheless. Philadelphia 3-0, marching on as one of the best teams in the NFC. But as I say, if you look under the hood, you know, they got some real issues. Let's just not look at the record. Let's also like analyze what's happening, because you don't need me to go out there and just like analyze the standings. All right. Like, we can all do that. Oh, they're 3-0. They must be good. Like, you know what? Like, that's not why I'm getting paid here. It's actually look at the context and see what's actually happening in the games. And through 3 weeks, for my money, they've been outplayed in all three games. But hey, the scoreboard is what the scoreboard is. But Nick will talk about that Eagles game over the Rams coming up in 40 minutes. Want to also remind everyone, make sure you are in those YouTube chats. Once again, at the BetMGM Network on YouTube, you can find the stream. Tell us your favorite bet for tonight's Monday night football game between the Detroit Lions and the Baltimore Ravens. Could be a side, a total, or a prop. Let us know, and we will give you a shout out later on in the program. Just got to include the rationale. That's all we ask. It's not a big ask. I don't think it is. Just include the rationale, and we'll give you a shout out later on during the program. But joining me right now, filling in for our executive producer, Billy Z, it's our guy, Mr. 340, now Mr. 320 for today and on Tuesday. It's our guy, Tyler Morales, who's a little bit off-centered here. Tyler, what's happening with the shot? What's going on, buddy? How are we doing on this Monday afternoon?
Good. Some ugly football yesterday. We texted a bunch about this yesterday. Yes. Some of those quarterback performances, like, I had to go outside during halftime. I had to go take a walk. I was just like, what did I sit through for an hour and a half with Jake Browning and Michael Penix? Ugh. It was like pretty brutal yesterday, but everything was good on my end. Eagles came back and won, which is good for my household here because we're all Eagles fans. So it was a good Sunday overall.
Yeah, you know what? Like, it really was a lot of bad football. Now, I'll also say this. Like, it became really exciting. But I mean, some of the games, and it's not just like the level of play, but like the flags, man. Like the officials, I don't know if they're just asking them to officiate too much. We got an emphasis here, we got an emphasis there. Now we're looking for taunting. It's like, dude, like, can we just keep it simple? Like, just call offsides, holding, pass interference, illegal contact, and like, let's just be good. Like, we don't need an updated emphasis on hit the quarterback too high, hit the quarterback too low. Oh, you flexed on your opponent. That's a penalty. It's like, dude, like, this is just way too much nonsense. I actually feel bad for the refs now. I mean, imagine trying to officiate an NFL game. You're thinking about like 75 different emphasis all at once, and these dudes are like 300 pounds moving at the speed of light. Like, it's got to be ridiculously tough to officiate. And yeah, I'm usually not somebody that's going to like stump for officials and pound the table for saying like, hey, the officials got it bad. But damn, man, I don't look like a fun job with all these things that they got them emphasizing. So yeah, the ball was bad, but the ball did get exciting towards the end or with the witching hour, as we outlined in the last segment. But we got some big stories that we have to get to here, Tyler. So let's waste no more time. What's the number one thing we need to know this Monday afternoon?
Yeah, Femi, I'm sorry to bring this game up. Not only did your Dallas Cowboys get destroyed on national TV, Cowboys star wide receiver CeeDee Lamb injured his ankle after an ugly tackle from Bears linebacker Noah Sewell in the first quarter. ESPN's Adam Schefter reported that CeeDee Lamb suffered a high ankle sprain and is unlikely to play Sunday. Per Schefter's tweet, the Cowboys want to see how Lamb is doing the next 10 to 14 days before making further determinations about his status. A brutal injury for the Cowboys, and now enters Sunday, the Green Bay Packers and Micah Parsons for America's team, Femi.
I mean,
I'm like, sorry.
Just when it rains, it pours, huh? Like, that's kind of how these things go sometimes. And we can now report that he has a high ankle sprain. I reported that literally seconds after it happened. I texted the chat. I'm like, oh, CeeDee Lamb, high ankle sprain. It's over. Like we all have seen what those high ankle sprains look like. And it was confirmed today. And I love how the Cowboys were like, oh, well, it's not that serious. He avoided serious injury. Did he? Oh yeah, high ankle sprain's a pretty serious injury for a skill position guy. And now it's, oh, well, we'll wait 10 days and we'll see how he's feeling. Yeah, guys, just hear me out. Here's how it's going to go. He's going to miss at least the next 4 weeks, if not the next 6 weeks. Like, that's just the reality of the situation. Because if he comes back too early and aggravates it or something else happens, then it can really be a disaster to where we'll see it in 2026, CeeDee Lamb, and you don't want that, especially with this team. delusionally thinking that they still have a chance to make the playoffs. Like, it's not happening for the Dallas Cowboys. So that's a bummer. And I'm seeing right now the game for the the unfortunate doomsday that's going to happen this upcoming Sunday night between the Cowboys and the Packers. There's a sports book here in Las Vegas that's actually gone to Green Bay -7. And I've been looking at it, and I have no urge to take the 7 with Dallas. That should show you where the Cowboys are at and show you what the offense looks like without CeeDee Lamb. Because as many people thought all last week, oh man, Dak is going to carve up this Bears defense. The Bears can't stop anybody. They just gave up a 50-burger to the Detroit Lions. Like, the Bears defense is so bad. Yeah, I get that, but you also need players to go ahead and execute against them, and the Cowboys didn't have that. Like, the game got weird. Javonte Williams had the fumble. Lamb gets hurt, and all of a sudden, Dallas is struggling to move the ball. That's how the NFL goes, and I was so disappointed in the fact that Dallas didn't carry their weight in the over. Like, we loved the over all last week, and towards the end of the week, I got onto the Bears side. I texted our chat on Saturday when there was news about Trayvon Diggs potentially being questionable for the game. I just said something simple. I said, Bears in the over. That's the bet. I bet Chicago +105. I bet the over. Thankfully, the Bears won the game and at least won that part of the bet. But the over, I mean, 2 interceptions in the end zone in the fourth quarter. How in the world does that happen? Dak Prescott, Joe Milton, like, it's just like, dude, this is ridiculous. What is going on? How do we get here? And that's what happened, unfortunately, yesterday afternoon between the Cowboys and the Bears. Now, I'll also say this, because we all know that Dallas's defense is a disaster. We've been calling them all last week the slump busters, because that's what happened. They made Russell Wilson look like the MVP with his 400-something yards in week 2. Let's just pump the brakes on Caleb Williams, guys. Like, let's just pump the, because I know everyone out there is like, oh, he's turning a corner. This is Caleb that we all thought we'd see. Guys, he played the Cowboys defense. And unfortunately for Caleb Williams, the Cowboys defense is no longer on the schedule. That game is coming past, and he did what he had to do. And kudos to him, legitimately. Kudos for him for taking advantage of that defense, because that's what any decent quarterback should be able to do, and he did it. But, like, just watch Sunday Night Football and think back to what happened to that Cowboys defense a week ago, and that's all the context you need. Once again, Russell Wilson, 450 last week. Last night, everyone's calling him to be benched. Like, this Cowboys defense is going to make everyone look good. Guess what? It's going to happen with Jordan Love on Sunday. 3 Bills, baby, and probably 3 touchdown passes. Like, it's going to be a weekly thing. These Cowboys games should go over the total, should be 3-0 to the over, if not for lightning delay and if not for just, like, tomfoolery yesterday. Like, these Cowboys games are going to be so high scoring as long as they can carry their weight. They didn't yesterday. It was rather unfortunate, but, like, I'm not here for the Caleb Williams was so good yesterday. No, Caleb Williams played the Dallas Cowboys defense, and a lot of other quarterbacks are going to do the same exact thing all throughout the rest of the season. Tyler, hit me with the next one.
The 49ers defeated the Arizona Cardinals 16-15. San Francisco moves to 3-0. Mac Jones continues to look pretty good as a fill-in starter for Brock Purdy. The unfortunate injury news continues, though, for San Francisco. Nick Bosa left yesterday's game with a knee injury, and he was reported about an hour ago by Adam Schefter that Nick Bosa suffered a torn ACL that will sideline him from the season. Another brutal injury for the 49ers, and now they lose one of the best edge rushers in the NFC in football. Your initial thoughts on this news, Femi, and what are you doing with the 49ers moving forward as the injuries just continue to pile up?
Yeah, I was getting ready to praise the 49ers in this segment because I was like, man, if they could do all of this stuff with all these injuries and be 3-0, which, by the way, feels like the quietest 3-0 that we've had so far this NFL. Everyone's talking about the Colts and everyone's talking about the Eagles and everyone's talking about all these teams that are 3-0. And here go the 49ers, you know, just winning games, grinding things out, beat Seattle in a grind-out game, beat New Orleans in a grind-out game with Mac Jones, beat Arizona in probably one of the worst football games outside of Houston and Jacksonville. Like, that game was god-awful yesterday afternoon, but they did it nonetheless. Like, you do all of that with Purdy hurt and Ayuk hurt and Jennings hurt and Kittle hurt. Like, the only good players that they have were healthy. It was Bosa, McCaffrey, and Trent Williams. Now Bosa's done for the whole season. Like, I don't know if you can overcome all of this. You can overcome some of it, and I'm sure their games are going to be more high scoring now that Bosa is out as one of the best defensive players in the league. One DPOY a couple of years ago. Like, he is that dude. But man, I just look at that defense and you remove him from the equation and I start to worry, because that Robert Saleh defense, not really known for, like, the creativity and the disguises. It's more so, hey, our dudes are better than your dudes, and they need a dude like Nick Bosa to execute that. And without him, I don't think they can. So for the 49ers, It's a bummer. Yeah, you got 3 wins banked, but I'm sure you'd trade off a loss to keep Nick Bosa. That's for damn sure. And for the Rams and the Seahawks and the Cardinals, you got to be seeing this as blood in the water, especially if you're the Rams. The way that they have been playing through these 3 weeks, they have to be your rightful favorites to win the division. Tyler, hit me with the next one.
The Kansas City Chiefs beat the New York Giants last night 22-9 in a really ugly football game from both offenses. Chiefs offense looked terrible again. They didn't score a touchdown in the first half, and Travis Kelce looked awful. Like, it was a disaster all around. And like, the worst part is the Chiefs weren't even the worst offense. The Giants were dreadful on offense. Russell Wilson threw 2 picks, and by the fourth quarter, the fans were chanting for Jackson Dart to enter the game. What were your takeaways from this truly, truly atrocious Sunday night football game?
My first takeaway was that the Kansas City Chiefs are probably the most boring good team that I could ever remember. Like for a team that's good, or at least that we think is good, they're as boring a watch as you will find. I was telling my wife this. I was like, man, do you remember what things were like in 2018 when Mahomes first broke onto the scene, and it's prime Tyreek Hill, it's prime Travis Kelce, and how exciting the Chiefs were, and how every game was must-see TV. And now I look at the Chiefs, I'm like, damn, they're on TV? I guess. a game of the week coming on Sunday. Get ready for it. Ravens at the Chiefs. A couple of weeks from now, they showed the schedule. Sunday Night Football, Kansas City is hosting Detroit. I was like, oh, really? We got to do this some more? Oh, man, it's a brutal watch. And hopefully it gets better when Xavier Worthy gets out there, Rashee Rice gets out there. Maybe it'll get better. But, man, it's hard to be worse than what it looks like for Kansas City. As for the Giants, who could have seen this coming? Outside of everyone, right? Like Brian Daboll, who's on the hot seat. Joe Shane, who's on the hot seat. Who's our week one starter? Russell Wilson. Guys, come on. we knew how this was going to go. Russell Wilson stinks. The man was throwing the ball at the goalpost on fourth and goal. What in the world is happening with the New York Giants? And this afternoon, Brian Daboll, who decided to make his bed with Russell Wilson and have that guy be the guy that potentially saves his job, he was asked about the quarterback position, and he said, you know what? Quote, evaluating everything. Translation, Jackson Dart, you're up, buddy. He's going to be the starter when the team takes on the LA Chargers this upcoming weekend. The noise is way too loud. They can't go back to Russell Wilson. Otherwise, like the first 3 and out, that crowd will turn. And they've already turned. They want to see Jackson Dart. And I don't even know if it's going to go well for Jackson Dart. And I honestly pray for Jackson Dart's case, the way the Chargers are playing defense these days, I don't know if you want that smoke. It might look really, really bad for Jackson Dart, but they want to see anything other than hustle and bustle Russell, who's dying to take sacks behind a makeshift offensive line. So we all knew this was coming. We all saw the schedule. Surprise, surprise, they're 0-3. And at some point this season, Daboll will be relieved of his duties. Tyler, hit me with the next one.
The Chargers improved to 3-0 after beating the Denver Broncos on a game-winning kick from Cameron Dicker. The Denver Broncos had multiple chances to close this game out. Bo Nix and the offense couldn't put away the Chargers. Oh, I'm sure Nick's going to have a lot to say about this game in the next hour. The Broncos lose another close game and are now 1-2 and 0-2 in the AFC West. Are you starting to worry about the Broncos after another last-second loss?
I mean, I'm not worried. I never believed to begin with. And you mentioned that you want to hear what Nick has to say. I want to hear what Sean Payton has to say after his tour all this summer, talking to every single friend that he has in the media, saying, oh, I feel really good about my team. I got a Super Bowl team. The same Sean Payton who said he felt like Taysom Hill with Steve Young. That's who I want to hear from. Is he still texting his friends that Bo Nix was hanging out with Drew Brees in the offseason? I guess they didn't hang out long enough. What are we doing here? The Denver Broncos are mediocre. Like, they're just a mediocre team. They're not bad, but they're not good. Because the quarterback's not good. The quarterback is bad. And the quarterback, when he's asked to participate in the game, because you go back and watch those games last year, a lot of it was, let's kind of do some things that hide his deficiencies. When he's asked to participate, this is what it looks like. I'm sorry, folks. He's not the one. He played 60 games in college football. Do you really think he's going to make some quantum leap and improve? He is what he is. It's fine. And it works for them to make the playoffs. It works for them to potentially be a 9-10 win team. But that's the ceiling. Like, that's what it is. And I'm just very, very interested to see if we're still getting those, oh, Denver's got the look, the vibe out of their camp. Come on. They lost to every good team they played last year, and they beat all the scrubs. Get out of my face with that nonsense. As for the Chargers, as big a 3 weeks as you could have for a team that's looking to have that year two bump in Jim Harbaugh. 3-0, all 3 wins division games. Herbert looking like an absolute stud, a potential MVP. This is what they dreamed of when they hired Jim Harbaugh. They saw some glimpses of it last year. They went 11-6, but it wasn't quite there. It always felt a little bit like, they're missing a little something. But the way Herbert's been playing, revitalizing Quentin Johnston, Keenan Allen, after his gap year in Chicago, has now turned back into the Keenan Allen of a few years ago. This thing works for Los Angeles, and I can't wait to see how it unfolds because they are a legitimate challenger in the AFC. And this time, I didn't think we were going to be saying that about the Chargers. I thought that this team had a very low ceiling. I was wrong. I think this team is for real. I think they will be dealt with all throughout the AFC this NFL season. All right, on the other side, we will get to the other games from yesterday in the National Football League with our quick hits. But first, we'll set the table for tonight's awesome Monday Night Football game between the Detroit Lions and the Baltimore Ravens.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.